Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in thanksgiving and thanking you for the many blessings that you have given. And Father, we thank you for each one that's here today and for those that are not here for whatever reason it might be, for those that are ill on the bed of affliction in hospitals. Father, we do pray for them this morning that your word, that your spirit would go forth into their hearts, that they might be encouraged, Father, and know that you do love them and do care. And Father, for our friends in Tennessee that join us by radio, we ask a blessing upon them this day. And Father, we just thank you for the privilege of knowing them as our friends and neighbors while we were there in Tennessee, and one day that we too will be joined together again around the throne. And Father, those that join us local by radio, we pray a blessing upon each and every one of them this day, that they might be encouraged and lifted up as they hear your precious word. And Father, we just thank you for those that are faithful and support and help in the church. And we just thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the fellowship that we have. And Father, we thank you for this church that you've provided here in this small community that we can gather here and worship. And we thank you for America, Father, that we have the privilege of worshiping as we please. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the freedom that you have given to us. And Father, thank you now as we go into your word, and we ask that you would just show us the things of Christ and apply them to our hearts as you see fit, and divide your word among each of us as each has need, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this is entering into the Thanksgiving season, and this psalm here is a personal thanksgiving of a man who found trouble and sorrow in his life, but he found a God that was a forgiving God and a loving God, and he found comfort for his soul, and he has something to give thanks for. And so we as Christians today, as we enter into this Thanksgiving, every day should be a day of thanksgiving for you and I for what the Lord has done for us. How many of you wake up in the middle of the night and just say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done? This is the kind of man that this one was here. As we come to it, in verse 1 it says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Now he begins to tell why that he loved the Lord. The Lord heard him and his supplication. This man was a man that prayed out to the Lord in the deepest time that he had of sorrow and trouble in his life, that he called out to the Lord, and the Lord heard his voice and his supplication. Oh, what was his supplication? His supplication was that his heart was labored down with the sin that he had committed in his life, and his soul was in trouble. And he went to the Lord in prayer, and he asked, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. That was his prayer. I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And it says, because, verse 2, he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now, he said he is inclined. He not only heard, he heard my prayer, and he answered my prayer, and therefore I call upon him as long as I live. He made a vow. He said, the Lord heard my prayer, and he delivered me out of this place where that I was, this sorrow that I had in my life, and this sin that I had in my life. He forgave me of that. He heard me. He is a living God, and therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Now, as you go through this chapter, if you want to, you can count the I's in it. It is an I chapter, because it is a personal chapter, a personal testimony of a psalmist who had found comfort in the Lord. And it says in verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Now we can tell something about this man. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me about. In other words, his heart was weighted down with the sin in his life. The sin had found him out. He had not escaped from God. The sin had come back to home. Now, it says in Numbers 32:23, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. be sure your sin will find you out. And this is what happened to the psalmist. His sin had now caught up with him, and it brought his heart down in labor and sorrow and trouble is what he found in his life. The time of reaping had come for this man, and there we can hear him as he cries out to God, as his conscience has been pricked with probably the word of God, and now he felt that he had a need in his life, that he was a sinner, and he cried out to God. And when he cried out to God for forgiveness of sin, God opened his ears and he heard him and forgave him. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." You see, our God is a God of judgment. He comes and judges, but he judges righteous judgment. He is not judged like we do. If we judge, we're usually harsh in our judgment, but our God is a judge and a righteous judge, and he will judge righteously. In Luke 12:2, it says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." And this is what this psalmist found out. No doubt for many years he had a sin hid in his life. He thought, well, my neighbors don't know, my friends don't know, my family don't know, the community don't know. There's no one that knows about this thing, this terrible sin that I have in my life. But the Bible says there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. And the only way that man can cover his sin today is to confess that sin. And God said, "I will remove it far as the east is from the west and remember it no more." But until we come to that point and confess that sin, it is not covered. It cannot be covered. You cannot hide it. You can be discreet as you want. You can do what you want, but it will come out because God will bring it out. Be sure your sin will find you out. And it, no matter how that sin is committed, God is going to bring it to judgment. We might sin like the sin of Cain, it done in secret. Cain sinned. He thought that no one knew, but God brought it forth to judgment. He spoke unto Cain there and asked him where his brother was. And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He thought the sin was hidden, but God did not let him get by. Well, why doesn't God let us get by with these things? Because God loves you, and he'll bring you to that place of repentance where you too will come like the psalmist. Your heart may be come down with trouble and sorrow, and then you come to that place of repentance. The Bible says, "Even the goodness of God leadeth thee to a place of repentance." You see, God works in our lives even before we become saved, as we call it, or born again today. He leads us into a place where that he can deal with us. It says, "Like the sin of Esau, it may be done under the impulse of a moment." You see, it may be done on an impulse, but yet that sin has to be answered for. It might be like the sin of Joseph's brother. It may be years before it's discovered, and we know how Joseph's brother treated him. It took years before that sin was uncovered, and no doubt Joseph himself thought, well, what those boys done to me, they've got by with. But no, God had an account, and it had to be reckoned with. It was there on the books, and it had to be answered for, because the Bible says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." You cannot escape the judgment of God. It says, like the sin of Achan, it may be well covered up. You know the sin of Achan, when he went out and he coveted the gold and the silver, and he took it home, and he thought he got by with it. He was not to take any of the gold, but he took it and he buried it in the center of his tent, and he thought there it was hidden, but it wasn't. Again, God brings him out, and it has to be accounted for. Like the sin of Belshazzar, it may be done under the influence of strong drink. Now think of this one. It may be done under the influence of strong drink, but my friend, it has to be answered for. Like the sin of Herod, it may be done in the result of foolish promise, and that's what he did. He had the head of John the Baptist beheaded because he'd made a promise. And my friend, if you make a promise today, be sure what kind of promise that you're making. It may be like the sin of Judas. It may have the approval of the authorities. No doubt that everybody said, yes, you go ahead. Then Judas went ahead, and we know what happened to him. Like the sin of Pilate, it may be done to gratify the public. And this is where many sin are committed today. You may sin against that one who is a child of God today because it gratifies the public, it pleases man, and therefore you may sin against that man, but it will be brought out against you. Unlike the sin of the Jews, it may be done in ignorance. When Jesus cried from that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The sin of ignorance. But my friend, everything has to be answered for. And here we find back in Psalms 116, the sorrows of death compassed me about. What was this death? This was not the physical death, but this was a spiritual death, separation from God, when everything began to get dark and tears began to come down his eyes and he began to find pains in his life that he could not get a hold of. It was not the physical pain, but it was pains of that heart. God now had him in a place where that he could mold him fit for the master's use, and these pains got hold of him, and he found trouble and sorrow on every hand, and he cried out. Look at verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Look at this. When did he call upon him? When did he call upon him? Not when he was out going, everything was going fine. He thought, well, this thing is covered up. Nobody will ever know. But when that time came, then he called upon the Lord. When? When he was in trouble and when he was in sorrow. God says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will hear. You see, your God loves you. Even while you were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He loves you, my friend, but he cannot condone the sin, and therefore he has to judge for that. And he will lead you to that place where that you too will go to your knees and cry out like the psalmist, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You can hear this man. It wasn't words like we pray. It wasn't great oratory that he made today, but it was from the heart. It was a short prayer. He said, O Lord, deliver, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. This was a man in trouble. He didn't have to put on flowery words trying to beg Christ or God to do certain things for him, but he went to the heart of the message. Lord, my soul is in trouble. Deliver me from this sin. And look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Look what he found when he come to that place, when he cried out to the Lord, O Lord, deliver my soul. That is a prayer that a sinner can pray that will open the ears of God, because the sacrifices of God is a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise, O God. So if you found trouble and you found sorrow in your life today, I have good news for you. If you call out to God, oh God, deliver my soul, then he will hear, because he is, look at verse 5, he is a gracious God. He is good. He's full of grace and mercy. It's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You see, this man came to the place when he called upon God, and he called upon him, and God delivered him, and he seen that he was a God of grace, a God of mercy, and also that he was a righteous God because of the judgment that he had passed upon him. And when we stand before him in that day of judgment, we will see that he's righteous in his judgment that he passes upon us. And this is what this man seen. He's saying that God was not only gracious, but he was righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Bible says his mercy endures forever. And boy, if you think that I've gone too far today, oh no, his mercy is still extended to you. If you've got trouble and sorrow in your life, turn to Christ today and call upon him. And he is a gracious God. He is a righteous and he is merciful. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. forever. He changes not. That is the promise. So if he was gracious at this point, and he was righteous here, and he was merciful, he is the same today, because it is the same God. It is the same Christ. And therefore, this man found deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 6 says, the Lord preserveth the simple. Look at this now. The Lord preserveth the simple. Why did he consider himself simple from where he came from? He thought for a while that he was proud and lifted up, and probably in pride, but now he found that he was a very simple man, that he was so simple that he missed the cross that he tried to get around. It says, I was brought low and he helped me. This is where he was. He was brought low. He was brought down to far as he could go. He was more or less like Jonah. When Jonah started to flee from God, he started going down, 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 until he wound up as far as he could go in bottom of the ocean. And there where God spoke to him, and he said, I was brought low and he helped me. Look at that. What did God do? He didn't cast him out because he was low, because he'd done all these things. God helped him, and God wants to help man today if he will just call upon him. He wants you to return unto him. Look at verse 7. He said, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. This man had a song of thanksgiving, didn't he? Return unto thy rest. Look at this. There is a rest for the people of God today. Therefore, there remaineth a rest unto the people of God. If you're a child of God today, you can have rest. You can come into this place. I don't mean rest for this old physical body. You probably not find much rest for this physical in this world, but you can find rest and comfort for that soul of yours, and you can return unto that rest. If you've gotten away from God today, and if you're out in the far country, return unto that rest. There is a place that you and I can come to and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest upon the completed salvation plan that he has, and rest upon the promises of his word that he has promised us. God has been so good to us, but yet man turns his way and says, I'll not have this man to reign over it. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. And this is no doubt what this young man or old man or whoever he was had done. No doubt that he'd wanted to do his own thing and go his own way. But all he found was trouble and sorrow in his life. Where did he find rest? Was when he returned back to God. And when he cried out, he found a God that was gracious, a God that was righteous in judgment, a merciful God, one who preserveth, one who helped. Oh, this is the kind of God that we have today, and we too can sing out this type of thanksgiving here and say, thank you, Lord, for delivering my soul, one who gives rest for that soul. And my friend, if you're out today and you're walling around in the sins of this old world, and you're going to walking the way of the world, it's only going to bring sorrow, it's going to bring pain, it's going to bring broken heart. But if you'll come and cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you, you can return unto that rest and have rest for your soul today. You can find peace. Paul says it passeth all understanding. That's one thing that God wants to give you today. He wants to give you that peace between him and you today. Have you made peace with God today? Have you come to that place to say, yes, I have sinned. I have come short of the glory of God. I want to come into that place of rest, and then you'll find peace with God, and then you will have the peace of God abiding in your heart, and the peace of God will be the umpire that calls the shots in your life. That will be the one that will guide you. It is the Spirit that will lead you and guide you into the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But man says no, he will not come to that place until he comes to this in trouble and sorrow. But thanks be to God that if we are in trouble and sorrow and we have sinned, we can come to this place and he will abundantly pardon. It says, for thou, in verse 8, hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Now we find here a threefold deliverance, don't we? We find the threefold deliverance. He had not only delivered my soul from death. Remember, this was a spiritual death, the separation from God. It's not the physical death, but the spiritual death, when you're separated from God and you're out and you're not in fellowship with God. You're away from God, and things begin to get darkness, and you begin to realize that you're wandering around a groping in darkness, and you don't know which way to turn. And this is what he was crying out, I thank you, God, for delivering my soul from death, that now I have fellowship with you again. And we remember our first Adam, when he came, what happened to him? The day that he partook of that fruit, God told him, the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. It wasn't a physical death that he was speaking of, but it was a spiritual death. He was then going to be separated from God, and surely he was. But God made provisions for Adam, and therefore he delivered his soul from death. And here we find the psalmist that his soul was delivered from death. And my friend, yours today, if you're a child of God, your soul has been delivered from death. You have now life in Christ Jesus. You have that new life, and Jesus says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And when you come to this place, he has delivered you out of that place of death and brought you up into a newness of life. The Bible says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abideth alone. But if it die, then it comes up, and what does it do? It brings forth fruit. I can take a grain of corn, and I can lay it up here, and I can leave it laying here, and it probably, if no one disturbs it, I can come back from years from now, and that corn of grain will be laying here on the pulpit where I placed it. But if someone comes along, they take that corn of grain, they take it out and put it in the earth, and it's planted, and the water begins to come, and the sunshine begins, what does that corn of wheat do? It doesn't grow of itself. It dies. It gives up itself. It completely dies to itself. And then pretty soon out of that ground, with great strength, you'll see a little shoot beginning to break the crust of the ground, and a new shoot begins coming up, and that shoot keeps growing and growing and growing until the time of the harvest. And then what? It's multiplied manyfold out here on maybe one, two, or three. And if you got good corn, maybe it's four ears of corn come out of that one little grain. And this is what it is to be born again today. Christ died for us, and we can have that newness of life. Mine eyes from tears, look at this, he would no longer have that broken heart, because now he had peace with God, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. And he could go to that place, and he could find rest for that soul in those times of trouble, because he realized that his God was on the throne, that his God had ears, that he could deliver him from those tears, and all things was working on good for his behalf. And look at this, and my feet from falling. Oh yes, he is able to keep you. He that has begun a good work in you will keep it until the day of salvation. He that has begun a good work in you is able to perform that which he has promised. The Bible says, though a righteous man falls seven times, God will lift him up. He'll not let you go. Why? Because you're his property. You're his child. He loves you like you do your little children or your little grandchildren. That's the way that God loves us. And he brings us up out of that place, and he sets us back upon that solid rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of living. No one had to tell him anything. He didn't have to go to school to find out how to walk. He knew. He said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Look at that. He made a vow to God. My walk has been changed. My talk has been changed. I am now a child of God. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. He wasn't ashamed to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He wasn't afraid to go out and testify to those who were outside of Christ. Verse 10, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Look at this. He gives a testimony. I believed, therefore I've spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Look at this. Now you can tell a little bit more where this man was. All of his neighbors, all of his friends, nobody was keeping the promises they'd made to him. He looked to man and the strength of man, and he couldn't find any relief. So he said, all men are liars. He was looking for help. He could find none. There was none to be found apart from God. And my friend, it's a place that you today, if you're living in sin today, that's the only place, because Jesus says, I am the door to eternal life. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But he looked around and no one was keeping their promise. And he said, all men are liars. And he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He began to look at himself. Well, what can I do? What can I do? The Lord has done so much for me. What can I do? And verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, what do you do with a cup? You go to drink coffee. You lift it up. This was what he was going to do with this one. He was going to lift him up, and he's going to call upon his name throughout eternity here. He was going to lift up Christ, and that's what we should do today. We should lift up that one upon that cross who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to that grave, who was raised the third day, and we should exalt his name. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, we hear many today that's glorying in many things, but my friend, when you come this route, the way this man came to God, then you'll find that you too will want to lift up his name. You will want to call upon his name because you realize where the power is coming from. Verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. Look at this. He says, I'll pay my vows. I'll not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'll present it to man today. I'll lift this Christ up and I'll present him to man today. Precious is the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Look at that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What kind of death do you think this is? Oh Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Look at this. This is his personal testimony and thanksgiving. I am thy servant. Are you his servant today? Can you say that today? Thou hast loosed my bonds. Oh, if you're in sin today, you're bound up. You're not free. You can enjoy life. You have a guilt grip upon your shoulder and you can't find man. You can't find a psychologist, a psychiatrist, encyclopedia, the Reader's Digest, or anything else to deliver you. It's not there. You must come to this place who is the one who is called Christ. He is the one that can loose those bonds. He is the one that can give you comfort. He is the one that can give you rest for your soul today. Verse 17, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Look at this. Now he has a new song in his life. The Bible says that when we come to Christ that we can sing a new song. And Revelation says, and they sang a new song. Well, what is that song? It is a song of thanksgiving. Thanks you, Lord, for what you've done for my life, because one time I was bound up with sin and you set me free from that life of sin and of death. You brought me out of that and you set my feet. You brought me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a solid rock. And that is where we as Christians today are standing, upon that solid rock, and that rock is Christ. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and we'll call upon the name of the Lord. Look at this. In other words, he's going to present the Lord to whosoever will. Everywhere his goes, his walk, his talk, everything now is going to be to glorify his heavenly Father, because he realized where his strength comes. My help comes from the Lord. He is the one who has delivered me. I have no strength of my own. In my own strength, I found trouble. I found sorrow. The pains of death got hold of me, but in the Lord Jesus Christ I found deliverance, and now I have been set free. At verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. Look at this. He just doesn't say in a few people, but in the presence of all of his people, I will pay my vow. In other words, I am going to follow the Lord today. My walk has been changed, and I'm going to walk in his steps. I'm going to follow him no matter what the cost. Jesus said, if you're going to come to him, then you must sit down and count the cost. This man had counted the cost, and he made a decision. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all of his people. In other words, he wasn't ashamed to go throughout his community and say, yes, I love the Lord. He is the one that loosed my bond. He is my Savior. And therefore, the Bible says, if you're ashamed to confess him before men, he'll not confess you before the Heavenly Father. But if you confess him before men, he'll confess you before the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, and therefore today that we should go out and confess the Lord Jesus Christ, because we too have that song of thanksgiving. He has loosed my bonds. He has set me free. And therefore, I am His child today, and I am going to His house when I die. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Look at that. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise you the Lord. And as we come into this Thanksgiving season, let us remember this wonderful psalm here of this man who was delivered, and this wonderful God who delivered him out of all of his trouble and all of his misery that he had in his life. Man will go out today and he say, well, there's nothing to it. But my friend, you'll continue on until you come to this place where you too may be brought down with trouble and sorrow in your life and nowhere to go. But if you will turn to Christ today, if you will look to Him, He will abundantly pardon. He will forgive you of your sin, because why? God loves you, my friend. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You see how much He loved us? He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's hope for each and every one, because your name is whosoever. Your name is whosoever. So whosoever will may come. That means you. That means anyone may come by faith, step out and saying like this, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul.